Speaking of floating on air, my first buy is Mascots Trucking Kids.
What? Bull Nuff Alert. My last sale is Chupa Chup Wrappers.
You're looking vibrant, relaxed, youthful.
Thank you. Yes, I don't feel any of those things. But
Neither do I. I don't look at... Where?
Oh, God. We've gone full Nuffy.
How are we feeling, Christopher? Talk to me. This is a safe place. Oh, he's down in the doldrums, everyone.
Hello, darkness. My old compadre. Not great.
No, look, Port Adelaide, as everyone here should know, is Chris's team. They, unfortunately, for the fourth time under Kenny Hinckley, did not get through to the grand final. And so that's 0-4 in prelims. And that's got to hurt. It's still raw. Ooh, look at it. Sore. Ouchy. Ouch.
No. It is the PAFC motto is we exist to win premierships. And when I say PAFC, I mean the Participation Award Football Club.
Oh, wow.
We don't exist to win premierships. Ken Hinckley doesn't exist to coach teams to grand finals.
Let's cut to the chase.
Yes.
Do you want Ken Hinckley coaching Port Adelaide next year?
That is maybe the silliest question someone's ever asked me. That's like saying, do you want to have a threesome tomorrow with Sydney Sweeney and Anna de Armas?
Well,
I would rather you ask me that question. I do not want Ken Hinckley to coach this football club ever again.
Is that because you think that he has a list that should be winning flags and so he's underachieving?
I'll be honest. I just want one.
Yeah.
I'm not being...
You greedy bastard.
I'm not...
You selfish man.
You selfish, disgusting man. We've got three... I'm not going to say generational talents because that's obviously reserved for higher echelon, but we've got, in my opinion, one generational talent.
Yep.
We've got another midfielder who is a Brownlow medalist caliber. We have another midfielder who is all Australian caliber.
Yep.
Probably not Brownlow caliber at this point.
I think your midfield is A tier, clearly. Right. But I don't reckon your forward line and your back line's that great.
Mitch Georgiadis is a bona fide SS.
Well, let's say your back line's pretty rank.
outside of Alira Lear.
Yeah, it's...
Zerk Thatcher, I'm not going to criticise Zerk Thatcher. I thought he had a... He played his role this year. He's clearly injured. I don't know what you were doing Friday night, but you obviously probably weren't.
No, look, I was enjoying some fresh fizz up in Sydney, and there was no TV, even though it was a Sydney game.
I wish there was no TV in my house.
I just wonder about Kenny in terms of...
Can he do it? No.
Will he fall on his sword, or do they have to make the hard decision for him? And who's replacing him? I don't know if Josh Carr's the man.
I don't care.
Oh, it's still too raw for you. I can't have a bloody conversation about this. But what if I said to you, Nathan Buckley?
Sure.
Okay, interesting.
I don't care.
All right, there we go.
Well, what part of I don't care? Are you not grasping?
All right, okay, I'll move on.
No, look, realistically speaking, Ken Hinckley has to go. He's rolled out a corpse in Charlie Dixon. Estava Radicalea was a colossal failure this year.
Well, is that Kenny or is that your recruiting?
Oh, just sack everyone.
Okay, there we go. I like it.
Clean house.
Yes. Well, I think Collingwood are getting a footy manager, so let's start.
Yeah, good luck.
Apparently he's good.
Enjoy. Yeah. I'm Ron Burgundy.
Ron Burgundy. But, yeah. Look, it's raw and I get it, but...
Big changes need to be made. Mitch Georgiadis, superstar, literally a superstar. The depth players, this is what finals are all about, right?
Yeah, true. Like, you're only as good as your 23rd.
Yeah, exactly. And let's not forget, like, we beat Hawthorn in a sensational final where we had nothing but role players stand up.
Yeah.
Because no Dan Houston.
It did feel like your grand final, that, to be honest.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, you were up for it and you just, you know, he had that extra motivation because of little Jackie Ginnivan.
Well, I mean, like, Sydney just looked, like, fresh.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, that's
they just run us ragged. But, like, you can't excuse a lot of things with Ken. It's his antics, right? Like, the stuff with, what's his name? Sicily. You can't excuse just that stuff. You know, the carry on with the 5-0 after winning the showdown.
Yeah.
Footy's an emotional game. I'm an emotional person.
You sure are.
I'm not going to criticise someone for being emotional, but
you just did.
How many times are you going to cry after a win during a home and away season after the media, like, gets to you? Like, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
You know, at some point, he's got to probably make a decision. Like, this. You've been going at it for 12 years. Walk away.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It sort of feels like...
Go do something else.
Is he going to coach? Yeah, I think the time's right to go. I think it's time to part ways.
Yep.
But what else has been happening, mate? Are you good otherwise?
Yeah, been great otherwise. Yep. Thanks everyone for reaching out.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of heartfelt, empathetic type of messages you were receiving.
Yeah, it actually wasn't as bad as I thought. Okay. The Geelong game was pretty bad.
There was a few,
I think, personal issues people were airing out with me, which is fine.
Took the opportunity to kick you while you're down.
kick, curb stomp.
Yeah, right. Nice. Yeah,
king hit.
Okay. Yeah, interesting.
But that's fine. and hello to Hawthorn fans. I've been fine.
Yep. Good.
Working away, took some time off, went to Queensland. And
Nice.
Yeah, just ramping up now to the busiest part of my year, like from a work perspective.
Yep.
With the NFL, NBA, all those seasons.
Yeah, it's all happening.
Yeah, as Bill Laurie says, it's all happening.
Yeah, love that.
Yeah, what about yourself?
A lot of
LinkedIn activity from you. There's something I need to ask you too.
As you know, LinkedIn is a important tool in the corporate armory.
For important people.
No, we don't really need to go into that, to be honest. It's just, it is what it is.
you did some voting?
Oh, I was judging peers in our Indian subcontinent part of the world. Nice.
Did you go?
Yeah. No. So you judge it online.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's just all the TV commercials that they make over there, and I just critique.
Yeah. Was there any sandpaper material in those commercials? No Aussie propaganda.
No, it's all for the Indian market. Yeah. All about Indian, which is funny because sometimes there's I find like a lot of their humour in those is still. I wouldn't say stuck in the 90s or the early 2000s, but there's a few little slapstick and also some that are a little bit, I'm not sure we'd get away with that. A little bit of sexist type activity. It's a cultural thing. A bit more slapstick, but refreshing.
I like that. we need more of that.
Yeah, we need more slapstick humour.
Any interest to go there one day?
I'd love to go to India, yeah. You're right. Yeah, I don't trust my guts to handle it. But I do love a curry, having said that. I am keen to go there. Okay. I'm keen to go there. Might dye my hair blonde.
Yeah.
Maybe grow dye that blonde, just to stand out a little bit more than I already would.
Just to get a little bit more attention.
Yeah, just a little bit more look at me, peacock feathers out.
Just a gun of more
looks. But, look, I've got other priorities, if I'm being honest, in terms of travel locations. But, no, India is definitely on the list.
Like it.
See you there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm sure they'll welcome me with warm arms after my social media behaviour over the last 4 or 5 years.
Yes.
Look, we've obviously first episode in a while.
Long while, actually. We talked last time just prior to the Olympics.
Yep.
And
line up like.
No, it's
busy,
just
we're busy, man.
Oh, look, we're professionals. If anyone who sees my LinkedIn knows this, should we talk the Olympics or should we let's go to the headlines?
We'll go to the headlines and we'll throw it in there. Sandra's been waiting patiently.
She has been bored waiting for us.
Yeah.
So thank you, Sandra, for your patience.
In you come.
Ten's Late Night News with Sandra Sully.
We begin with the signing of...
Keeping you informed, keeping you involved, keeping you in touch. Australia's most established late news service, the Late Night News with Sandra Sully. Weeknights on Ten.
You can kick it off.
Yeah. With competition complete, the Olympic flame extinguished and the post-Olympic depression slowly fading away, we can confidently state that Paris 2024 was Australia's greatest, that's right, greatest ever Olympic Games. Well done, everyone. 18 gold, 53 medals all up. Australia finished fourth in the medal tally, which is remarkable considering our population. Mm-hmm. And it was a truly remarkable 2 weeks. And
it was.
Let's talk about it because I loved it.
Yeah, look, the Olympics are great. Like, there's no way around it. The Olympiad never fails to disappoint.
Mm-hmm.
I took most of the time off.
Yeah.
So I could truly try and get onto
immerse yourself.
Try to get onto the Perusian, Perusian schedule.
Yep.
Didn't work out that way because I wanted to play golf during the day. So. But so I put in some pretty
big hours.
Some pretty big shifts.
I'm going to early buy here. I'm going to buy you for your prediction about getting close to reaching 20 gold. You were right on track until...
I was on track.
And obviously that was the most gold we've ever got, 18. So well done, because you called it early.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I think I said 20 and 50.
Mm.
And that fourth would be like the...
Yeah, like a lofty ambition.
Like and... What, 1853 and fourth?
Mm. It's Benny Gale type, Richmond three feet.
I've got Gary Lyon like just grilling me, just, saying like, "It's a are you embarrassed by this being released?" No, I'm not. I want to be the next chef de mission. I want to go to Los Angeles.
Yep.
Los Angeles, the next one.
It is. It is.
Yeah, nice. Yep. That'd be good for us. You think?
Well, in terms
of prime time, like, so that's what we struggled with. Like, the prime time stuff was just very early for us.
Yeah, it's going to be nightmare again.
Is it?
Yeah, timeline.
Even though, like, it's 7 o'clock in LA is, like, what? I don't know.
No, it's not great. I think the Brisbane one should be okay.
Thank God.
Although they don't do daylight savings, so.
No, of course they don't. Backwards. Yeah.
No, it was a great couple of weeks of competition. I loved it.
There's a few ones that sort of stood out to me.
Yep.
I think that my favourite was Jess Fox and Naomi Fox.
Yeah.
Like Jess Fox cementing herself
as,
in my opinion, our best ever athlete.
Yep.
That's not taking away what Emma McKeon, Ariane Titmus. You know, or anyone else has actually achieved.
Yeah.
I just think when you stack up how it's run and the fact that it's like, it's one go.
It's do or die, you're right.
It's literally one go.
Yeah, there's like, no heats. Well, there are elimination.
Like, yeah, but like the semifinals, one go.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Final, one go.
Yeah.
If you hit a pole, you're basically done.
Yeah. Room for error.
There is actually zero room for error. And I just think that... level of mental strength just puts her above anyone else we've ever seen.
Yeah, it's a big call, but it's hard to disagree with.
It's hard to disagree. And then from the other side of that, in her sister Naomi, winning as like the underdog.
Mm.
Like
finished eighth in her heat.
Finished, like, just qualified.
Just qualified, like, sorry, yeah, yeah.
Usually just qualified for the Olympics.
Yeah, so finished eighth to qualify, yeah.
And just, like, I think that I was the most happiest for her.
Yeah. That was a dream run. That was a dream run.
Dream run. Yeah. And because I think like when she made the final, it was just like, please get a medal.
Yeah.
Like, please beat at least one.
Yeah.
And the best thing was, so the way, because this was a new, I guess.
Yeah, and I really loved it. It was great. It's awesome. Good. Yeah. It's a little bit of biffo in there.
There is a bit of biffo, but like, I guess the way it works is if you win your heat, you are able to choose what lane you're in. And so she had a clear game plan.
Yeah.
And she just
kept.
She kind of just kept doing it. Mm. It just kept being right. And yeah. So she took the one side where the other three were belting each other. And yeah. So
just,
in the end, it was like a Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday little.
Down the Penrith River for them.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was great. Yeah, another sport I want to shout out is handball. We were sort of texting about handball during.
Yeah.
Bloody good game. Good TV great game.
Jeez, great TV game.
And the crowd is sort of like more skewed to a drunken darts crowd. Mm-hmm. Like there's a bit of music and everyone, it's like a party atmosphere.
It is built for us.
It's built for us. And we talked about it last episode. I'm just surprised it hasn't caught on down here. I said to my son, who is currently 13,
get to work.
I said, mate.
Get to work.
We have to have a handball team in Brisbane.
Yeah,
32. That's you.
Yeah.
Like, let's find a handball club.
I still think I could make it.
Yeah, exactly.
So
he'd
great to play alongside him.
He didn't show a lot of interest. But you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him play handball.
Can't drown him. Yeah.
No, it was good stuff. It was good stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. I've got a sneaky little buy or sell coming up about the Olympics, so I don't want to go too hard, but yeah.
No, I actually don't.
Okay.
Matt Ebden and is it Matt Piers? The guys who won gold in the
tennis?
In the tennis.
Yeah.
You know, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like that's just like, you know, beating some real big name Americans.
Yeah.
Stuff like that just really, I was actually in a brewery in the Docklands, very intoxicated.
Nice.
Hat backwards.
Yeah, right.
Cheering each point.
Yeah.
I think I was on the cusp of being asked to be removed from the venue, but they obviously don't have the Olympic spirit like I did.
Exactly. Exactly.
Possessed. I was like, Elvis, a higher power.
They call a priest.
Yeah, they call the priest, and Matt Ebden had another race. Oh, but there was just so much. Like the swimming's great. Like seeing Ariane, you know, beat the so-called goat. And like,
well, I think Ledecky is the goat.
Full play. She had a pretty good Olympics. But it is like seeing Ariane, you know, like father of.
Yeah, she's definitely
it is great. And from some aspects, we're probably like. We probably should have done better.
Yeah, there's probably a few people disappointed with their efforts.
Yeah.
But then we.
Yeah.
I suppose it always evens out. There's a few sneaky ones and a few that we probably should have won. Yeah. So.
It always happens. But
yeah, it was great games.
All in all, incredible Olympics, and I think a lot to look forward to going into LA.
100%.
I've got the countdown.
Yep.
Already on.
Less than 4 years.
It's less than 4 years. And every day, it's actually getting closer.
Yeah, that's funny how that happens.
So well done to all our one more thing. The water polo.
Mm.
The women's won silver. The men's didn't get a medal, but they shocked the world.
Like they shook up the world.
They beat. And like a lot of these people have day jobs.
Yeah.
They're not professionals.
No.
That's a great sport.
That was, yeah. And that's
a clutch sport to watch on TV.
It is, and it's also a brutal sport to play. Oh, holy dooly. Have you played it before?
Oh, absolutely not.
Oh, I have. Like you're already knackered with the swimming part of it and just staying upright and not drowning, and then you got people like grabbing your nuts and elbowing you in the face, and you're like, "This is not. I'm not having a fun time."
I chose.
And then someone throws me a ball.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, great. Cheers. Can hardly get my arm out of the water.
I can't touch the ground, but I've got to explode up.
Yeah, I'm having fun.
But yeah, well done to everyone. I can't wait for LA. Go Australia.
Yeah, go us.
Go you Aussies. Speaking of Aussies.
Oh, yeah, give me one.
Oscar Piastri hailed his Azerbaijan Grand Prix victory as his best yet after soaking up relentless pressure from Ferrari's Charles Leclerc to put McLaren on top of the F1 standings.
How did this happen?
Yeah, so he passed pole sitter Leclerc on the 20th lap in Baku.
See ya.
And defended every single lap.
And that was high stress, tension,
high drama.
We talked about Jess Fox, like no room for error.
No, zero.
That was, I made it, I text you after, I was like, we've got a new, Aussie, in terms of Aussie superstars, just, if not already, just around the corner, this guy in a couple of years is going to be as big as we've got.
I think even next year.
Yeah.
Look, there, so much has happened in the F1 landscape.
Yeah, ever since last time we chatted.
Yeah, since last time we chatted. Like, the Red Bull, which, you know, looked like, just looked untouchable.
Yep.
Has fallen apart.
They've gone sugarless.
They have gone very sugarless.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are no wings.
No.
There is.
It's a bit bitter.
Yeah, it's very tough. It must be good for you. It must be healthy. You're like, that's healthy. Mm. I don't want that.
No, that's making me fall asleep. Mm.
God, I'm not.
So what's happened? So is there something that can be pinpointed? Is it the drama of the start of the season's caught up with them? Or
I think it might be. So teams can bring, like, upgrades, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of them bring upgrades once they get to Europe.
Yeah.
And so it's not surprising that the early races, cars were so far behind, and then they had, like, you know, like, it looked like they were not doing anything about it.
Yeah.
Most of the factories are obviously based in Europe and whatnot, and it's just easier to transport everything around. And so I think the fact that, so Red Bull had penalties for breaching the salary cap or whatever. And
naughty.
And so, like, as a result, they had like a reduced, they had reduced time in their wind tunnel and all this sort of stuff, which meant that they didn't actually have the ability to bring as many upgrades as other teams.
Right, okay. Yeah.
And I don't know if it's like it's a knock-on effect from that.
Yeah.
Adrian Newey, the guy who designs the car, who's considered like the godfather of, like, F1 car design, is a genius.
Yeah.
He's actually gone to Aston Martin.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Lawrence Stroll buying his, like, daddy. I want him, daddy.
I want the good guy.
I want the good guy, daddy.
I want the genius, daddy.
He's still going to finish last. But, yeah, like, this guy, I don't even know what this contract is worth. I think it's like,
it'd be
potentially like a $100 million deal for a guy to design a car.
Yeah. He'd be getting paid more than half the drivers, wouldn't he?
Yeah, easily, yeah.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of been pushed out of Red Bull anyway because I guess it was known he was leaving.
Yeah, right.
And then his salary kind of counts to the cost cap and all this sort of stuff. So they had him working on Red Bull's road car. And I don't know. It's just a lot of shit going on.
Mm.
Obviously the drama with, Horny Horner at the start of the year.
Yeah.
And then Helmut Marko is just like the biggest fucking flog in the history of the earth.
Wow, allegedly.
He's like 85 years old and he's just a miserable, grumpy prick.
Mm.
Like, he's one of those people who just literally says what comes to his head.
Okay, boomer.
Like, no remorse for how it's done.
Real boomer areas.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of stuff going on at Red Bull. And
yeah, it sounds like it's already biting him on the ass.
Yeah,
and Ferrari, will
McLaren are just sort of like, they've just been chipping away at the car.
Can Max hold on?
I think this race is probably.
So
I'm not gonna say this is it for Lando, but so
we're talking about Singapore, which would have been run and done by the time this airs.
Yeah, so
but
by the time this airs,
we'll know
run and done. But as we're on the day of the race, Lando's on pole, Max is second.
Yeah.
So
if Lando's ever going to put on the big boy pants, now's the time to.
Finished on pole five times. In all five of those, he's been passed in the first lap.
Yeah. Pass me my big boy pants, daddy. Well, he is actually British.
he is British, and I don't think that would be big pants. He's quite a small man.
Yeah.
But, yeah, look, there, one thing I did want to speak about is obviously, like, there was. There's a little bit of kerfuffle with the Monza, which is a race that Charles Leclerc won,
mm-hmm.
where Lando was on pole once again, and Oscar made quite an aggressive move to pass him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had a bit of a human – seems to be just English people, actually.
Yeah.
English people are the only ones upset about it because I guess they just – they want – Oscar to just accept that he's number yeah. two and to let him go.
Mummy, Oscar yeah. tried to pass me.
He's naughty. He's naughty. I don't like it. This just shows the English mentality is like just
yeah.
fundamentally
flawed.
Flawed, fragile, weak as piss, whatever you want to call it. And so they had this thing like papaya rules, which is like, you know, rules for engagement when they race and whatnot. And
as in like an internal McLaren thing?
An internal thing. They just, you know, because they came over the thing because, you know, Lando's like, he's like, can I? He's like, is he going to give me the position back? And he's like, papaya rules. And it's like oh, Doyle rules. Like, whenever I heard it, that's what I was thinking of, oh, Doyle rules. But, like, in my opinion, nothing that Lando has shown.
Mm. He doesn't have the killer instinct.
No. Nothing to me says he's him.
No.
Oscar's the killer.
Oscar's him.
You know, Lando's a very good driver, but he doesn't have the mental makeup, in my opinion.
No, he's lacking that 1% that probably makes the champion separates 100%, him. Yeah,
100%. Max has it.
Yeah.
Lewis has it.
Oscar's got it.
Yep.
He's got it. God damn, he's got it.
Yeah. So. Yeah, there'll be a fair shakeout after Singapore for a number of reasons, some of which I'll touch on a little bit later.
Good, love that.
But
Oscar.
McLaren are like, McLaren are going to win the Constructors.
And I love that because McLaren, apart from, like, the legacy of McLaren's cool, right?
Yep.
And so it's good to see. And, yeah, it's just good to see another team that's not Mercedes or Red Bull actually back, you know, competing.
Yeah,
100%. And obviously Ferrari's competitive, so it's good. Yeah. That's been the knock on F1 for the last few years is it's a bit like, race is already over, but now we're back.
Yeah, because we had an eight-year Mercedes dominance.
Yeah.
And we went from that into a Red Bull dominance.
Yeah, so.
So, yeah.
Get around it, people.
Get around it.
Moving to AFL. Speaking of the AFL, it's been great, Nick. Oh, he's in real good nick.
He's in a great place.
Yeah.
We said it first.
We did.
People are kind of like, I don't know if
this is good. No, it is in great nick.
It's in a good nick.
Brisbane have earned a chance at redemption by beating Geelong by 10 points in one of the best finals and an all-time preliminary final on Saturday. Well, let's call it a twilight feature, and we'll talk about that too. In a second consecutive grand final, they will take on Sydney Go Swannies, who beat an undermanned and unfairly – oh, hang on, I haven't read this – treated, oh, my God, by the umpires, Port Adelaide team that were robbed. Okay. So Sydney-Brisbane grand final. the Brisbane-Geelong prelim was – as good a
snorter.
And I was thinking, geez, this is as good a final as
GWS Western Bulldogs.
Well, I was going to say Collingwood Brisbane, which was a cracking game. Yeah. But this was, in terms of prelims, it's a top five prelim, I reckon.
I agree, yeah.
It just had everything. It was like the start was tense. There was a lot of errors from mainly Brisbane, but both sides because the pressure was enormous. Mm-hmm. And then when they finally sort of got into a rhythm, the ebbs and flows. Geelong looked cooked. Brisbane looked cooked. Yeah, Brisbane came back. It was great. Like a
proper heavyweight.
Yeah, it was. You're right.
Bout.
It was Ali Foreman, Ali Frazier.
Just slugs.
Yeah, a lot of sluggage. And like, hats off to Brisbane to be 44 points down against the Giants in a semi-final.
Yeah, a team like that. Too,
yeah, right? Yeah. Who Giants normally don't let that.
Yeah.
Go to do that and then do that again the week after, you know, being down against Geelong. You know, it feels like they've got the story.
It does feel a very team of destiny.
Yeah.
E.
Mm.
a lot will, and we're going to do a grand final preview.
Oh, yeah, don't worry about that, people. We've got you covered here on the refill.
I can see people in the chat worried.
No, just calm down.
Chat here, they're worried. Yeah. Don't you worry.
The live stream.
Look, a lot's going to ride on, I think, the health of Oscar McInerney.
Well, I think he's cooked. But Darcy Fort is an interesting one because I don't know if I'm going to cut...
Marv from Home Alone.
Yeah. I want to cast your mind back to the Brisbane-Melbourne qualifying final at the MCG in 2022.
Yeah.
And Darcy Fort came in and absolutely brained Max Gawn. And Brisbane won at the MCG.
Two goals.
Yeah, just brained him. He was playing like bloody... Simon Madden meets, Dean Cox. It was crazy stuff. So him coming in it's a pretty handy replacement because I sort of play the same style of game, those two. Yeah. Like, obviously, Oscar's better.
Mm.
But that is a big blow for Brisbane.
What an effort.
Mm.
Like, what an absolutely heroic effort.
From him. Oh, yeah. He was clearly in a lot of pain.
He was not even just him. He was very distressed.
Yeah. But he kept on. That's just toughness.
Yeah. To have it, like, restrapped.
Yeah.
Probably just speculating something, a needle, whatever.
Yeah, and you could tell that hadn't done much.
And, like, that needle would have been...
Very painful.
Would have been a horrific pain.
Yeah, and then to have it go again. Oof, whammy.
Yeah. It's one thing to say, it's a midfielder, whatever, it's a wingman, to come back in that, like, it's still tough, but, like...
The ruck craft requires...
You are physically engaged.
Yeah, you're getting...
In every banged aspect up. Of your role.
Yep. No, mad props to the big fella.
Mad props to him. Jeremy Cameron, I wanted to talk about because he took the P155 in Adelaide.
Yep.
And I don't know. Like, I didn't think he played bad last night. He missed a couple of, I think...
Yeah, ones he would normally nail.
You're almost just putting that down.
Yep.
But I think, we've talked about him before. If you're picking one player, I'm sorry, I'm picking him.
Yeah,
I'm picking him. If it's a do or die final, I'm just picking him.
Yeah, he's clutch.
Yeah, like some of those goals he kicked against Port Adelaide were.
The first one was ridiculous.
What do you do?
Defied. Like physics.
NASA can't get two astronauts. Down from the space station, they saw that goal and they said, fuck, can we get him on the phone?
And I was like, mate, we need your help.
Can you kick a boomerang?
He's a gun. Yeah, clearly he's a gun. Yeah. I think, look, I never really thought Geelong was the best team in the comp this year. When you just sort of boil it down to its very basics, it's like, who's the best team in the comp? I just never thought that was Geelong. I just felt like they're probably super well drilled, and I feel like they've almost set the trend. Them and Hawthorn have almost set the trend for next year in terms of how the game's going to be played, which is going to be quicker. I get again, mosquito fleet forward line. So look, they're clearly well coached and well drilled, but I just didn't in my gut feel like they were the best.
Yep.
Premiership team, winning team. So we'll see what happens, eh?
Yeah. If they had won, Dangerfield suspended.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely suspended.
Max Holmes.
Gone. Hamstring gone.
Not playing.
So they would have, I think for the game, it's probably the right.
Yep.
Brisbane winning is the right situation.
Agreed. Now, last story we've got for you today.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I smiling?
I don't know.
Why am I smiling? Graham Arnold has stepped down as head coach of the Socceroos.
What?
Just 3 weeks out from Australia's crucial World Cup qualifiers against China and Japan in October.
He's left us in a good position, though, right? Yeah, we're in a
great position.
Yep.
Because his departure comes after a disastrous start in the third round of the qualifying campaign, where we picked up 1 point out of a possible six against international powerhouses Bahrain and Indonesia.
Oh, so we weren't playing like your French teams or Germany?
Nope. We played Bahrain and Indonesia.
Oh, well, that feels odd.
Yes.
So what's Graham been doing then?
Good question. What has he been doing? I do not know. Look, it's a long story, tough relationship, myself and Gray.
Yeah, no, look, I've been on there as well. Yeah. And look, he sort of made us eat our words to a degree at the last World Cup.
So, yeah.
And we're happy to, you know, we're happy to.
We were the first people to
put it. Yeah, it takes a big man to do that, and we're both big men. Yeah. But I feel like we were probably right.
We were right, yeah. The negativity in game style, just there's just no evolution.
No. We've
got a far superior team than both those teams.
We should not be losing
games. We should be drubbing both of those teams.
Yeah.
And the fact is, the World Cup now is super easy to qualify for. Well, not super easy, but it's easier
we're,
to qualify.
We're in the we don't have to play Uruguay's to qualify, and
And there's more teams at the next World Cup.
Yeah,
I think we're done. Which is just a
Australian soccer just can't get it together.
No, it just gets in its own way.
Yeah, it really does. Over its own feet, ties its shoelaces together.
How many times have we tried to get behind it, and then they're just like, hey,
and then they'll just,
pitch invade.
I was like, here we go. They finally got it to, and shit the pants.
Yeah, honestly, it's just one of those organisations, I think, that it's just always going to be like this.
Yeah, I suppose it is.
I'm pretty sure in terms of, like, sporting participants in the country, it's basketball and soccer that's actually ahead of, like, AFL, rugby.
Yeah, 100%. And they've got, like, the juniors coming through. Like, it's like, really competitive. There's a really good, like, talent pool out there now. Yeah,
and
it's just, anyway. Yeah. And missing a World Cup is, you know, quite a hammer blow in terms of getting those juniors excited and playing and interested in the game.
It's huge for a country like us.
Yeah.
Because it sets everything, the sport, back.
100%.
Like, let's say, so we beat Peru, right? So Peru doesn't make the last World Cup.
Yeah.
It's their number one sport, whatever. Mm. Nothing will go down in terms of participation. Nothing will go down in terms of
development. It's a national sport. They're fine.
National sport, whatever. A few people will be fired.
Yeah.
A few people put in place, whatever.
Yeah.
Try and make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
For us, it would be a complete disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah. A-League attendance drops.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's already low. it's already very low.
Yeah.
Which means,
well, you lose those household names, like, you know, the casual, sometimes sporting fan, you know, who tunes in, you know, I know Tim Cahill by watching him in World Cups.
Yep.
We don't have that opportunity.
No. So,
geez, thanks, Graham.
Yeah, thanks, Graham, for everything. But boy, oh boy, are we in a spot of bother, and boy, oh boy, do we need Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah,
Klopp out, Klopp in.
Yeah.
Klopp into Australia.
Flip-flop.
Yeah.
Klopp.
Look, if I'm being honest, I think it's a $1 that they just appoint another Graham Arnold.
Well, because the die is cast. Like, what are they going to achieve in this? They can't really do much about it, can they?
Yeah, so thoughts and prayers, because, we are – China and Japan are no joke.
No,
and,
especially Japan.
We're in big trouble.
We're in big shitskis.
But, yeah, that is the headlines for this episode. Oh, the segment that everyone loves.
Yeah, it's new, it's fresh, it's exciting.
It's hot, it's so fresh, 2024.
Yeah, I love that. It's question without notice.
Can you repeat the question just to make certain that I have it accurate?
Well, what is the question?
That's my question! The question, jerk!
Your segment, you can go first.
All right. Now that the dust has settled, and I am genuinely interested in your thoughts here. Now that the dust has settled.
I don't like this.
Ray Gunn. Aussie legend or Aussie embarrassment?
I was doing some. Do you know what kick throughs are?
They sound exciting.
They're it's an exercise. So you're essentially down on you're on your knees and your hands.
Yeah.
You sort of kick one leg through and kick another leg.
Right.
Through.
Okay. So it's good for the core.
It's good for the core.
Yeah.
And I was doing them at the gym and I was being filmed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was I looked at it and I go, I look like fucking Ray Gun here. I legit look like Ray Gun.
Yeah. So like she's clearly entered the vernacular. But I don't know. I'm interested in your thoughts. Is she an Aussie legend or an Aussie embarrassment?
I'm gonna sit on the fence and I'm gonna say she's neither.
Okay.
I'm gonna say she's. I hope her lawyer's not listening. I think she got to the place she got to unfairly
mm-hmm.
by some things.
Political?
By political...
Maneuvering?
There's a lot of, I guess, fake news maybe with this story.
But, certainly you know, is, like yeah.
She's, you know, there's apparently her husband was a judge at one of the tournaments and the qualifying tournaments and all this.
Yeah, as you say, there's a lot of fake news around
there's
it.
There's a lot of stuff going around, so I don't
speculation
really,
and innuendo.
Yeah, and we don't want to, you know...
We don't want to give that airtime.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Look, she tried something. I'll never fault someone for trying something, but I turned it off 15 seconds in. It was a very difficult watch.
Mm.
She can clearly dance, right?
Yeah.
But that looked fucking shithouse.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to say is I don't think she's a legend because I think it looked fucking awful.
Yeah.
But I don't think she's an embarrassment because, no, maybe she's an embarrassment. Look, she's an embarrassment. Yeah,
there it is.
Yeah, she's an embarrassment. Yeah, she's an embarrassment.
Yeah.
There you go, cop that.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. I think she took the piss in the Olympics, which you should never, like.
That has no place in the Olympics.
No, it was an embarrassment. Everyone taking her off, and as I said, she's entered the vernacular, and she'll probably be the most costumed Halloween character in America. And
I've seen a few people talk
like,
already.
Yeah, and I saw like she, like, Richard Branson loves her, and I get all that, but she used the Olympics to take the piss.
Yeah,
and I it goes against my very fabric.
Yeah, no, I'm completely with you.
Yeah.
That's really good. So you're obviously on the same page.
Yeah, she made a mockery of the Olympics.
She made a mockery of the Olympics, which...
Yep. Yeah. No, don't do that, please.
Don't do that, please. Really good one. So my one's probably a little bit controversial.
Oh, hello.
What's going on with P. Diddy? No, I'm just kidding. canceled for that. Look... I'm gonna be. This is almost like just a question for you. Like I'm looking for help.
Okay.
Is am I too emotional with sporting teams?
No.
I'm just asking you because I'm struggling.
No such thing. No such thing as being too emotional. Nah. I think sport is a great outlet for emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And someone who is already a naturally emotional man, as per yourself, which is fine.
As per, that's not a wash bomb.
No, that's not fake news. That's a real thing. It's a real living, breathing thing. No, I don't think you can be too emotional. I've seen, you know, people crying in happiness at their team's winning, and people, you know, the despair, and people crying at losing, and the depression that sets in for the next 4 to 5 years after losing a prelim.
And me right now.
But no, I don't think there's such thing, mate. Honestly, unless it affects your like day to day living. And like in all seriousness, I don't think it's affecting your day-to-day living.
No, it's not.
You know, so I don't think, yeah. And look, people take, you know, some people colour their houses in their team colours and it's all great. It's all a great outlet. Life is fucking tough, especially at the moment. And sport is a great outlet and a great distraction from the day-to-day stress, anxiety and a lot of other stuff that people go through. So if you're emotional about that, I say good on you, because it's fine. I'd rather you put your emotions into sport than into like some naughty things like some drug taking or to answer your question, no, I don't think you're too emotional about it.
Nice. Well, there you go. Cop that. I'm not emotional. short and sharp.
But that's what it is. That's what this segment, that's what it is. Cuts to the quick.
Cuts to the quick. And that is...
Question. Without notice. We're talking about iconic segments.
Just a complete Aussie icon.
It's like in the Kubra.
It's like the McSteak.
Yeah, it's like the McBeefsteak. It's like a McBeefsteak and a bloody campfire.
McBeefsteak.
McBeefsteak. It's iconic. It's delicious. It's
the stock market.
Tonight we're going to be talking about the stock market. Woo for the stock market.
I was just trying to figure out what the hell is going on in the stock market.
I'll go first.
Yeah, please do.
I'm buying Daniel Ricciardo. Now...
Geez, you'd be the only one.
I'm tell you why I'm buying him. Because I'd say tonight is probably the last time we're actually going to watch him race.
Pouring one out for you, Dan.
A lot of rumours, innuendo, and usually smoke, fire...
Where there's both, there's
like a month off after this.
Yeah, right.
And so I believe contract clauses, all this sort of stuff. And, he's clearly been my favourite athlete. You know, we just spoke about emotionally investing.
Yep.
And give me a lot of really good...
Good times.
Good times, great times, and then obviously some frustrating times. Obviously, you just wanted to see him do well, make some decisions that I think he probably...
I think that's the crux of it, right? He made some... career decisions that hurt him. Ultimately.
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys who probably look back and say, you know what? Look, he made decisions on the. He wouldn't regret the decisions, if that makes sense.
Like, yeah, no, exactly.
How he made them in the moment. But you never know how things are going to play out.
He doesn't have the benefit of hindsight. Exactly.
Yeah, no one does. I'm buying him just as the thanks.
Yeah, love it.
To be honest, F1. Is a very tough sport to break into. We've got
100%.
We've got at least two drivers on the grid next year.
Yep.
You know, to have three would have been just a monumental achievement in this country.
Or like buddy, 20 Olympic gold. It was like fourth in the Olympics type of areas. Yeah.
Massive. But he's an 8-time winner.
Yep.
He is one of the most likable human beings you could ever see.
100%.
And, I will miss watching him race.
Yep.
Truthfully.
Will he race on somewhere else, you think? Like, will he go NASCAR or one of those type of things?
Not sure.
Yeah.
It's hard to know.
He probably doesn't need the money, right?
Probably doesn't need the money. He's got his hands in a lot of cookie jars. So I'm sure he could go to IndyCar if he really wanted
to. Yeah, so IndyCar is what I was thinking.
He'd be a huge name for that. Probably not NASCAR. But Dan, thank you for everything. If this is truly it, I hope it's not. I would love to see him finish out the year.
Yeah. But as you said, the winds of change seem quite strong. Gusting.
Formula One's a cutthroat sport.
Yeah.
So, tip of the cap. Well done, Dan.
Good on you, big fella.
Thanks for everything, if this is truly it.
Yeah. No, hear, hear. My first buy, and I feel like this bloke needs some love, is Richard Fox.
Oh, yeah.
Richard Fox is the father of, quite literally, the father of Jess and Naomi Fox, who we spoke about earlier.
Quite true.
And he is the worst performing human in their family. He came fourth in the Olympics, and he is their worst performer. He's the butt of their joke.
Yeah.
You know, so the mum, Miriam, won bronze for France.
Yeah.
Obviously, Jess is a multiple gold winner. Naomi's won gold. And he,
Richie works for Channel 7.
Richie, who was like a multiple world champion,
yeah.
Head of the canoeing, like, you know, a very prominent figure in the sport, but also the laughing stock of the Fox family.
Complete laughing stock.
So I feel like he needs a bow. Like, what an overachieving family, yeah. Ultimately.
What I love about him.
What's that?
Is obviously he's watching his daughter's race.
Yeah, he's commenting, yeah.
And he's the complete professional.
Yeah, yeah.
And which would just be, I couldn't do that.
No, he's able to sort of shut that whatever right side, left side, both sides of the brain off and just yeah.
And that's not saying he's not like.
No, it's not like he doesn't care, but he's like, I'm getting paid to commentate. I'm going to commentate. Look, I love the whole family's great. I reckon they're rippers. And I did a bit of research and I just thought, I'll just have a look. Because I was like, what has he done in his career? Wikipedia. Yeah. You shouldn't use Wikipedia as a source of truth, but I did, whatever. And I saw that, like, talk about an overachiever and just sort of makes you a little bit ill. So, do you know Jess Fox in 2011 when she in high school was the number one ranked student in New South Wales and got an ATAR score of 99.1? Like, Jesus Christ. Gene pools are just like ridiculous.
I know. I just remember her posting like during the last Olympics, like she was still at uni.
Yeah. She's doing like a master's and.
I was like, what the?
She's taking the P155.
Some families take the piss and then you look at my family and you're just like, has someone achieved anything?
Well, I'd like to think you've achieved plenty, my friend.
Agree to disagree. Richie, love
it. Yeah, so I'm buying Richie. Good on you, mate. You're not a laughing stock to me.
No, you've got lots of love here. I'm buying someone as well, kind of the same, not the same realm, but, you know, like I think needs some love. It's Anthony Kim.
Is that golf?
Golfer, yeah. Yep. So we kind of spoke about him way early in the
year. His sister plays as well? Is that a different family?
No, that's the Corder family.
I thought that
Anthony Kim was like the next biggest name on the PGA Tour.
Yep.
And like amazing swing, all this sort of stuff.
Yep.
And then kind of had a few injuries and disappeared.
Yeah, right.
A lot of rumours came out about, you know, like what had happened. And then he sort of resurfaced and started playing on the Live Tour this year.
Yep.
Had not played competition golf for 10 years.
Jesus.
I think it was 10 or 13 years.
Wow.
Had not played golf. And pretty much just, he did an interview where he kind of just, he didn't get into specifics, but, you know, he sort of alluded to that he got into some pretty heavy stuff.
What's heavy stuff mean?
Like some narcotics and.
Right, you know, okay, gotcha.
Into a pretty dark place.
Yeah, gotcha, yeah.
He's sober.
Yeah, great.
You know, I'm not sure how old she is, but he has a daughter now. And,
yeah, great.
He's just a real easy person to cheer from. I loved watching him play when I was growing up.
Yeah, well, it sounds like he was a really naturally talented.
Oh, he's unbelievable. But he's like, you know, he picked up, I think you said he started playing golf again a month before he joined the tour. It's mental.
Yeah, it's mental, yeah.
And
how's he going?
He's finishing in the bottom half of the
which is to be expected, right?
But if you've not played golf for ten years, you've picked up clubs a month before and you've just started getting back into it.
Yeah,
like
most people do that just on their local course, not on a live tour.
Yeah, but he's not finishing last.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Like he's finishing, 35th out of 47 or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It's absolutely mental to me to see, I guess, the progression.
Mm.
And so just as someone, like, I always love watching play.
Yeah.
Has obviously been through some real, real dark, dark areas.
Yeah.
To see him come through it and he's, like, massive on social media now. And so, like, that's why I can see all of this stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You just...
All right, hats off.
You just love cheering for people like that.
And I've got to say, like... golf is such a mental, like it's all above the shoulders. 100%. Like when you're up to that 1%, the difference between the first and the 100th is just mental, right?
Yeah.
I'm surprised that more people don't go into a bit of a dark place and use other things to get through because it's so psychologically, you're fighting yourself.
100%.
You're fighting a war on, you know, on every, on everything.
Yeah.
Yourself, your swing, your technique, your everything, opponent.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so no, good on him. He's come through the other side. Yeah.
No, 100%. Shout out to AK. Big love. Looking forward to seeing him hopefully next season.
Yeah, absolutely. My next buy, and it's, again, just because we haven't really talked post-Olympics, but I feel like she still doesn't get anywhere near as much love as she deserves. And I'm calling her the ninja goat because of that. She's just a sneaky goat, and I think she's going to go down as the all-time great Olympian, Kaylee McEwen.
Does she have red hair?
No.
Oh. Did you say ginger goat?
No, the ninja.
Oh.
Sneaky goat, because no one talks about her.
You said ginger.
No, like, the ginger goat. No, that's Boris Becker. No. Yeah, Kaylee McEwen, she has... She's a Clark Kent of Aussie sport, I reckon, and, and it's not just the glasses that she wears. 5 Olympic gold medals already, 4 of them in individual events, mind you, so not medalies.
Significant.
Yeah, significant. 9 in total.
Yeah.
And she's only 23. And she's not a household name. She's not a household name.
Yeah.
Like I said, Ian Thorpe, yep, how many gold did he win? 5. How many has she got? 5.
Yeah.
Still got... at least one more games ahead of her.
Potentially
2. She'll probably hold on for Brisbane.
Yeah.
So we need to talk about her more.
Agreed.
She's
agreed.
The ninja goat.
We are that
sneaky
good.
Goat. Yeah, we are that good, and I know, but she's, yeah. The fact that she's won 4 individual Olympic gold should put her up in that conversation a lot higher than...
Yeah, look, I wonder why that is, right? Like, because when you think of, you know, the swimming now... It's like as Ariane Titmus, you know, she's on the Harvey Norman ads and whatnot, and like, and that's I'm not being critical.
And Titmus like, should get her juice 100%.
Yeah, but it's like it is interesting how.
And Kaylee's story is like really significant as well, like with her, you know, lost her dad to brain cancer, and she's like super likable, and but she's just almost anonymous in mainstream sport in terms of like. Casual fan.
Yep.
Do you know who Kaylee McEwen is? You'd say, excuse me?
Yeah, being pardoned.
But not to me. To me, she's got, just watch this space.
Yeah, nice. I like it. My last buy is someone we spoke about last night. They're from the...
Ken Hinckley?
No, we didn't. Idiot. It's Boris Becker. I'm buying the Green Wedge zone. Darcy Willmott.
Oh, yes, the Green Wedge. Get around
this
him.
This guy is a superstar. I've said superstar a lot this episode, but this guy is...
He's going to be... There was almost a breakout game last night, but the mark he took was a ripper.
Good grief.
But this, he's run and carry, and he's just... He's footy now, and He is representing the Diamond Valley, the Green Wedge, as we would like.
And he is everything that a halfback should be, in my opinion.
Yep.
Right? Like, and we spoke about it earlier. It's clear I've got some issues with Nick Martin.
True.
Because I don't like the way the position has been weaponized.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Wilmot can run. He can kick.
Yep.
He's got supreme pace and supreme... Was it tenacity?
He impacts the game.
At like 100% pace. Yeah.
And he doesn't need, you don't need to accumulate to impact the game.
No.
He impacts the game more than a Nick Martin.
Yep, 100%. It's like Dan Houston. He's talking about Poirot again.
Dan Houston
can get like 30 disposals.
Unless he plays for Collingwood next year.
Dab.
Then I'll be talking about him a lot more.
But the way these guys can impact the game is with like 15 to 20 disposals is what this position should be.
No, 100%. That's a great buy. Love it.
That he's from the Green Wedge.
Love the Green Wedge.
We just produce athletes.
No, he's, I feel like he's just like next year he's in the All Australian squad.
Yeah, 100%. And Brisbane lost Caden Coleman, right?
Yeah.
It was viewed as like this was going to be Caden Coleman's.
Yeah, break. Yeah, his year.
He had a really good finals campaign.
Amazing finals campaign. And they're sort of like, oh, you know, how are they going to replace him? Well,
they've got a better version.
Maybe if they end up having Coleman and next year on both flanks.
Right foot, left foot. GG.
Yeah. Good luck. AFL. Brisbane. Let's quickly talk about it. So, Brisbane, And I don't think we should be changing any of this stuff, right? Because it's all swings and roundabouts, and sometimes you have a good run of it, sometimes you don't get a look at it. But the whole father-son academy, like they're about to get Levi Ashcroft,
yeah.
Who is obviously a gun,
yeah.
And then Sam, his last name escapes me, who was basically the best player in the Coates Grand Final, is also a Brisbane Academy pick. Yeah. So they're going to have basically two first-round picks for free. And because of that, you think, oh, you know, we need to change fathers. And, oh, the academy's all – but it is what it is. Like, sometimes you have a good run and you get these things that fall into your lap.
Yep.
But the fact that Brisbane have made the last two grand finals and are basically getting two top five picks is interesting. Look, I don't care because
– No. I hear the argument on both sides. I hate to sit on the fence again.
But Sam Marshall, sorry, is Sam who I'm Marshall. Talking about. Yep.
I know why people were upset about it before when they got the other Ashcroft.
Will Ashcroft is a Jet, by the way.
Complete Jet, but, like, people were upset because that was – I think that's how they were able to get Josh Dunkley. Well, they were able to Because they didn't have to
– Yeah, if you know you're getting that collateral for free.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Carlton's about to get the...
Yeah, the Camporelli twins.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not against it. And in terms of... It's a swings and roundabouts. Like, you know, St Kilda can play because their ex-players all have girls. And that's just how it is. And the AFLW squad, I'm sure, will be...
And the pedigree is also not that great.
Ooh, boy.
Players.
Actually, no, apparently Justin Peckett's kid is going to be good. So I'm not saying to change it in any way. All I'm just saying is that Brisbane have got...
They got stuff coming. Yeah, which is potentially scary.
And in a still a development market, it's probably not the worst thing if we as a AFL collective are serious about growing the game in the northern states.
And, you know, obviously football and soccer's growing up there. Shut up, Chris. But yeah, Darcy Wilmot into the buy.
Yeah, Green Wedge represent. My last buy is weightlifters' absolute disdain for smelling salts. The way they just – it's insane how they snort them like they're just smelling flowers, like they're just like, ah. You've dabbled in them.
Yes, I've dabbled in a lot of different salts.
Yeah, and I've dabbled in them. And honestly, it does, like, blow your fucking head off for that quick second.
I think the science behind it is like it's a 15 to 30 second effect.
Bang! Yeah. But the fact that like they're no joke. Like they really do make your brain itch.
They are. It's the swiftest uppercut.
Yeah, exactly. But they are like just like a pig in a trough, just like.
They.
Oh, and I purchased some. I was about a year. Yes, but no. Yeah, just start of the year. To sort of help me with my hangovers, I thought what I might do is I'll buy some smelling salts, and then if I'm a bit hungover the next morning, I'll just go, and then, whoa! And all it sort of tended to do was just make my eyes water and not really help. But when I...
Put it to your liver.
That's what I needed. Exactly.
Knock the
piss
out of it.
But when you're at the gym and you're feeling like, oh, geez, I couldn't really be bothered, you go, come on, get your ass up. A little bit of a smelling salt, and that does the trick.
Yeah.
But, the way they just, the disdain and the just, they just, I don't know if it's because their head's just so used to it, but my God, yes. Watching the Olympics and seeing them snort that shit down.
Stuff too.
Oh, I was gasping.
Yeah.
I was.
As if I was doing this.
Yeah, I was totally shocked. Anyway, well done to them, and they're just. Oh, how they
well
do
done.
It. Oh, just well done. Well, I'm impressed.
Very good. On to the sells. My first sell is fantasy football injury predicaments.
Okay.
We're obviously NFL's back.
Yep.
It's well known. Big fantasy man myself.
You are.
Had the draft at my house.
Nice.
Back to back champion. Going for the three.
So you got the home ground advantage, right?
Home ground advantage, wore a suit.
Yeah, I'm not.
Came downstairs with a trophy with Kurt Angle, you suck playing.
How'd that go down?
it was a good video.
No, it would have been good fun.
It was, and then the speech, and I said something nice about everyone. and then just, yeah, they weren't really nice things.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, and then I actually made a, Caitlin did a, she photoshopped me into Patrick Mahomes' spot on a raft where they did their Super Bowl parade at Disney World.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I'm in between Mickey and Minnie Mouse holding a trophy.
Nice.
And, yeah, I printed them off and signed them for everyone. I've got a few left if you want
to. Good to see you just, you're being humble about it, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I've got it this year, to be honest.
Okay.
I drafted a really good team.
But
I've got four injuries.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like I had a really, really good team this week, even with the injuries. Very happy, very confident.
Yep.
And had a good pickup. I wanted this player for depth. One of my other players gets injured. I've got to drop that player I've just picked up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just
The game, isn't it?
It is, and there's so many injuries early into the NFL season that it's just
is that a worry for the, like what? Yeah, like you know when a sport gets a lot of injuries, you're sort of like,
There's no real, there's nothing linear about it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, as long as you're not that type of person that's messaging on Twitter, these people go, "When are you coming back? You're killing my fantasy team."
Yes,
as long as you're not doing that, then no,
it's Instagram. No, we never do that.
No, I know.
But yeah, it's just frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
You can never get complacent, never get settled. So like I just said, I don't think I'm going to win. Maybe I will.
Well, maybe that mentality was sort of might be a bit of a false dawn for your opponents.
Because I'm the most active.
Yeah.
Right. Like.
Yeah. You're having a crack.
I'm not. I don't rest on my laurels, and that's a true champion. So hopefully I survive, but just there's a couple of weeks. It's just going to be a bit of grit check.
You know, yeah.
A bit of dig deep, bit of resilience for the. I'm not going to say my team name.
okay.
It's got Martin Luther in it.
Oh, jeez. I'm sure it's inspirational. My first sell is, and again, this is my last Olympic sort of based one. But my first sell is so when the USA team won the basketball gold.
Mm-hmm.
What I noticed across a lot of their platforms, mainly Instagram, is that they were sort of, and it was all throwing shade to Noah Lyles-Still, who lives rent-free in every American basketballer's head.
Yeah, everyone thinks they can beat him.
Yeah, but they're also openly like rooting against Noah Lyles in the Olympics. Like I've never seen Americans just turn off the fact that he just dropped a bit of truth.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
But
how mentally fragile.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what they were doing is on the NBA feeds and that, they were like, who the world champs now? And it's like, okay, I'm a little confused. So they say that the Boston Celtics are the world champions, which is what Noah was having a crack at. Yeah. But then they said they won the Olympics, so now they really, like, now who are the world champions? It's like, well, no, you're the Olympic champions.
Yeah.
So it's like, which one is it? And
it's very insecure.
So insecure.
And he won.
Yeah, he's still, yeah, won his 100 metres.
Won the 100 metre gold, which is the biggest sporting event.
Exactly, it's the marquee event.
Like, it just is.
Yeah, every 4 years. It's the most pressure.
I would say it's the biggest individual sporting event.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, take away the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Super Bowl's probably second.
Well, I mean, that's not, yeah. Well,
FIFA World Cup final would be second, Super Bowl probably third.
Yeah.
That's just because I feel like if you ask people who won last year's Super Bowl, who won last year's, the last World Cup final, who won the 100 metres, people are answering the 100 metres.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
Religiously.
Yeah. No, so I'm just confused as to what they think is a world champion. Is it the Celtics? Is it the Olympic Games? Basically, my bottom line is I'm selling them because they're just insecure little.
They're insecure, and they've shown like I don't know what they are in terms of like school intelligence level, but Americans are quite in a literacy ranking. They're quite down there. So it's just kind of showing like how dumb of a nation they are.
Oof.
To be honest.
Yep.
And it's not surprising, is it?
No, well, that part of it's not surprising to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's a good sell. And I'm going to sell someone in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
I've got my first Olympics based.
Mm-hmm.
I'm selling Matthew Richardson.
Matthew Richardson as in the ex-Richmond player?
No.
Hmm. Oh, hang on. There was another Matthew Richardson. Yeah. Oh, he was a cyclist.
Yeah, he won a silver medal for Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
Why am I selling him, you say?
Why are you selling him, I say?
Because about 2 to 3 weeks after the Olympics, he announced that he'll be competing under the Great Britain flag moving forward.
What?
Yep.
You can't compete. I thought you quite literally couldn't compete for one country, then compete for another.
He's going to sit out.
For X amount of whatever. For
whatever it is, he's going to sit out.
Why?
For funding.
Oh, so, my God.
So Great Britain has, like, funding and resources and whatnot, and his mum's from Great Britain.
Mummy, I want a better bike.
Yeah, and, yeah, that's pretty much what it's come down to. But you know what? That happens, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That happens. That's foolish behaviour.
And it's happened, yep.
But this decision was made before the Olympics. No one in the Australian camp knew.
Oh, wow.
Because he didn't tell anyone. So all these plans, all the wheels in motion.
Yeah.
He was happy to take all the funding and all the support from the Australian.
True. Good call. Good call, yep.
Because he knew if he said, by the way, this is what I'm doing after the Olympics, they're saying.
Yeah, of course they would.
See you later, mate.
We're not funding a buddy, a Brit.
What a fucking selfish prick.
Allegedly.
So,
no, I didn't even know that had happened. Yeah. So I remember – the only reason I remember his name is because I think that literally the first question he got asked or second question he got asked after he won his silver was, what's it feel like to be like the better Matthew Richardson or something like that. He got compared to the other Richardson and he's probably just like, really? I'm going to Great Britain.
Yeah, Richo at home just getting the drive-by.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's disappointing. That's disappointing. But also, we didn't lose a gold medalist, so whatever.
No, exactly. Can't wait to see him. Can't wait to cheer for him to fall in the velodrome.
My next cell are security guards and the way they are treated during lightning strike delays. So human sacrifices are still a thing.
They're on the ground.
They're still a thing in 2024. We are still more than happy to sacrifice humans for the better...
Betterment of the pitch. Don't you dare come into the square, mate. Just like this week.
Yeah, everyone's running for cover. You're literally you're a human bloody lightning rod. And then everyone's on the cover except for security guards. It's just like, good luck, boys and girls. See you in 15 minutes, we think.
Oh, quick, boys, put those metal rods out with that rope.
Just hold those umbrellas high.
Hold those umbrellas. Oh, that is very...
I mean, come on, we've got to look after our security friends, don't we?
They're probably not paid too great.
No, I don't think they are.
Yeah.
And they're not... Yeah, they're... Yeah, look, I'd be interested if one of them did actually cop a lightning rod to the head.
Yeah.
What would happen in terms of litigation and why were they out there when it was no one else was out there and everyone else is undercover? And anyway, I just thought I'd put that out there and, maybe we need to, work out something.
Yeah, 100%.
Maybe. Well, whatever. But, yeah.
In Gina Reinhardt's Live AFL. Do you think that
they would... Oh, when we've got the Adelaide Lightning.
Yeah. Do you think... How does she approach security guards in that?
Everyone's off the ground. And if you want to... If you're silly enough to streak or invade the pitch during a lightning strike and you cop it, that's Darwin Award stuff, my friend.
That's on the ticket stuff.
That's called the Darwin Awards.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's how we approach the Live AFL.
Good on you. Shout out to Gina. My last cell is something I mentioned earlier, the papaya rules.
Papaya rules.
And I guess this is just a overarching, probably F1 cell. Let the boys race.
Yeah, I agree. Look,
and I understand the papaya rules is like just, it's sensible rules for engagement. You know, you can race, but just be fair.
Well, it's the bigger picture of the world, of the Constructor Championship and the Like it's massive money, right?
It is.
So I get why they do it, but you're right. By the same token, if you've got the best car, also if you're winning the construction championship, you are most likely to have two drivers who are both bloody good.
Yeah.
Right, and competitive.
Yeah.
So look, yes, but then if they do crash into each other, it's an absolute shit show.
Crashes.
Yeah. Well,
Oscar can just. Keep going.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. But no, I get it. You know, I don't know. There's no fix to that, is there?
There is no fix. No. Yeah. No, especially not when English drivers and English people will be in it, because they'll always be, you know, that weak-minded, limp-wristed, cuckolded behaviour. And so that's always going to be like, let your teammate pass, please.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good sell.
Yeah,
that's a good sell. Let them race.
Just let them race. My
last sell is TikTok dancing. You are allowed to say no. We don't need. So I'm just busting a few moves.
The video of the girl who's crying.
Oh, it's
she's doing a dance. I love sending that.
It's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. Like, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a sportsman who's been, you know, your girlfriend wants to do it. You know, I saw Ben Cousins do one the other day. I sort of cringed out of my bloody skin. You know, Rory Lobb sort of set the tone early in the year.
That
and
sucked.
But you're right. Like, people like, yeah, like girls who are like openly sobbing about something. My boyfriend left me, but I'm still going to do a dance. It's like, that's such attention seeking. But like, it's
yeah.
Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm going to put Caitlin on blast here.
Whoa.
So she watches this show called The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives.
I saw that pop up in my the Google TV recommends or something, and I was like, "What the hell?"
Yeah, and there's one. So it's just obviously like it's a group of women.
Yeah,
and there's I think there's one of them on there got like she got ridiculed because she was in hospital with a baby.
Yeah,
that was like her baby was literally in hospital, and she made it like a TikTok, dancing video, and she's just like. I was just trying to just have a little bit of positivity in my life. I was just like, she whiz. Caitlin loves that show.
Oh, God. Yeah. I actually watched Under the Banner of God, I think it is, which is Andrew Garfield. It's about Mormons and really good show, actually. It's on Disney Plus if you want to watch it. But
Write that down.
But
Andrew Garfield as well.
Yeah, great actor, actually. Great actor.
He's doing
well. He's flying. Don't worry about him. But yeah, TikTok dancing. You can say no, and you know, no one wants to see you ugly crying and ugly dancing.
Yeah, no, that's a great way to finish. Let's say your significant other comes home and she's like, I know you're not going to want to do this, but we need to do a TikTok dance.
I would say no fucking chance.
What if she says, all right, we'll compromise. You tell me what it's going to take for you to do this dance and let me post this dance. I'm going to share it on Facebook. I'm going to share it on Twitter. I'll share it on MySpace. It'll be on our Christmas card. What will it take for you to do this dance? Do you need a director's cut?
I just wouldn't do it. It's just not happening.
It's just not me.
I want to stay authentic to me.
It's not the vibe.
No, it's not my vibe.
Yeah.
No,
fair enough. I'd do one for $50, FYI. anyway, that is the stock market. Alrighty, let's wrap it up with a bit of a AFL Grand Final preview.
This is your little free podcast section where you just get a little bit more extra value.
Patreon subscribers.
Yeah, like you don't have to do that, you just have to listen.
You don't have to pay for it, you're just going to get this for free.
If you're still here, welcome. And
for those three people who are still here.
This is going to be a preview to end all previews.
What's your biggest storyline going into the Grand Final?
Well, one of the teams is going to get redemption, in inverted commas, i.e. Sydney for their 2022 shitting of the bed, mm-hmm. or Brisbane for their heartache last year. Yep. That for me is probably the story. What about you?
My storyline is, and I don't know if it's actually confirmed or not, but the Dane Rampey potential suspension.
No, he's cleared.
He's cleared?
Yeah.
Okay, so my storyline going into it is probably Oscar McInerney.
Yeah.
I know we spoke about the fact Darcy Ford, good, you know, whatever, good replacement, whatnot.
Not as good, not as good as a fit Oscar yet.
Not as good, but yeah, I just think it's an interesting, watch because you've got Lachie Neale, who's, I think they openly said he's got some ankle issues and whatnot. Mm. Looked pretty good last night, so.
Yeah, had a quiet second quarter, maybe third quarter, but yeah.
But still, the game before, he kind of.
Oh, and he still had a great first. Yeah, still significant. Yeah,
but it's just those things. You know, so many players are injured. I've got like, you know, niggles, whatever, going into a grand final. It's like, what do you, you know, at what percentage of him being okay do you go? Yeah, we're picking him.
Yeah,
because it's a huge risk.
Yeah, I don't think they do because if his shoulder goes out again, which is probably likely to happen, you're a man down against Grundy who's a sub too. Yyeah, exactly.
If
so
you take him in, you're going to have a tour as a sub.
I reckon they've already written him off. I reckon it's the Darcy Fort game, and it's you know, Fort versus Grundy.
Yeah.
It's probably that's, you know, 15 love Sydney.
Yep, I like it. Why can Sydney win?
Well, Sydney can win because they have been basically the best team of the year.
Yep.
And I reckon they currently have the in-form player in the comp in Isaac Heaney.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we're splitting hairs in terms of – I reckon this game is going to be a belter and super close.
Yep.
And I think both sides are evenly matched.
A rip schnorter.
So why Sydney can win, I think Heaney is the best player in the comp.
Yep.
They got – Goulden, who's a gun, Warner, who, especially in second halves, Warner, and in the last quarters, Warner just...
Yeah, he takes a while to get into the game.
Yeah, but, like, he storms home. Yeah. You know, you got, you know, punchable head Papali, PHP. You know, they've got a lot of weapons. Our boy, the Lizard, you know, who, by the way, my Smokey for the All-Australian became an All-Australian.
Nice,
so. Don't know. Can't remember. I only remember because he got in. But so yeah, they've got quality around the park. They've been basically the best team in it all year. Mm. But they've still got a MCG question mark over them.
Yep.
They lost to bloody Richmond, who finished bottom of the ladder this year at the MCG. So that's a concern. Why can Sydney win it, Chris?
I think for me it's the It is like similar to what you said, like best team all year. They hit a lull patch, whatever. They lost by over 100 points to Port Adelaide. Geez, then they get
redemption. In the prelim.
Then they get redemption for that.
Yep.
They're firing on all cylinders.
Yep.
And they look very, very, very fit.
Yep.
And so.
Yep.
So I'm worried about, from a Brisbane point of view, I'm worried about the fact they've played an extra game.
Yeah, that's a great point, actually.
They've got Sydney have had an extra day off.
Yep.
And that's the thing is, like, Port Adelaide were never in that game.
No.
Port Adelaide had a good start and they were run over.
I think it's a great point, actually, the fact that Brisbane are about to do it the tough way, Sydney. Yep. And if we're talking about splitting hairs between these two teams, that might just be the factor.
Yeah, 100%.
So it's a great call. Yep.
I guess it's that. Well, it's because finals pressure is such a funny thing, right? Where like, if Sydney come out and don't, and you know, can somewhat not feel the pressure and play sort of freely, they will win.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. They're just fresher.
Yeah.
Better team. Like, it just should happen. But like.
Yeah. You just don't know.
You just don't know.
They surely would have a few demons from that last grand final because that was a shellacking.
Brisbane kicked the first four goals.
Yeah. And interesting enough, if they Brisbane do get up, that's Sydney losing to a team that finished outside the four in another grand final. Lost to the Bulldogs. So, yes, on the flip side, why can Brisbane win it?
I think that they've just shown that it's a team of destiny.
Feels that way.
The fact that they were clinical against Carlton, they did what they needed to do against Carlton.
Yep.
How they were able to come back and beat GWS, I think gives this team so much belief.
So much confidence. Even when Geelong had them by, was it 22 points, I think, last night at one point?
Never looked fake.
Never looked like they were out of it, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that belief is a really hard thing to dislodge.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't care what's thrown at you.
Yeah. And
the fact that they've won at the MCG against the Victorian
I agree.
Yeah, because I remember a few years ago, right, they couldn't win at the G.
Yeah.
And they lost Hawthorn, and it was just like, you were like, oh, shit, is this it for Chris Fagan? This team clearly has got some mental hurdles.
They've definitely banished them.
Yeah. I would argue that GWS were better than Sydney in the qualifying final.
Yeah.
Right? They fell apart.
They fell
apart against Brisbane too.
Yeah.
But if I'm Brisbane's coaching staff, right, they obviously did some film session on that game.
Yeah.
So I reckon they know that.
Mm.
They've watched that game and they've seen what I saw, and that GWS was a superior team for most of that game, just got run over. They've done the same thing to them.
Yep.
So
I think both
belief is so huge, especially when it's just one more game, right?
You
can push through whatever. These guys are super freakish athletes.
Yeah.
It's not me, trying to run four laps. They can push through this.
Well, it's funny because both teams have a tendency at the moment to storm home.
So
I wouldn't be surprised if whoever's behind going to the last quarter, don't be surprised if they make a charge.
Yeah. Give me an X factor for both teams.
Well, it's funny, I was looking back, last time I played Brisbane won by 2 points, and I think it was almost the start of Sydney's lull, Sydney were flying then.
Yeah.
And a player who kicked three goals one in that game is Hugh McCluggage.
Yeah.
And he's my man for this one. I think if
get a different one then.
You're the same, will you?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, it is, right? If Brisbane are to win, they need someone like him or him to hit the scoreboard.
Yeah.
Like scoreboard pressure, impact, and it's like his running game. He's just so important to them. He links them up.
Yeah.
If he's down, I can't see Brisbane winning.
Agreed. Yeah. I was going to go him for kind of the same reason, but I guess I can pivot to, Josh Dunkley.
Yeah.
Because, I think Lockie Neal is Lockie Neal.
Yeah.
Right? And we know how important he is, but Sydney's so deep that I think McCluggage, Dunkley and Ashcroft have got such important roles that probably, especially Ashcroft.
Yeah.
I think Ashcroft is kind of super, super overlooked.
He's so underrated. He's so clean in clutch. He's getting tackled in contests. He looks
pretty unflappable.
Yeah. Who was getting into it? One of the Geelong players was Atkins.
Atkins was one of the worst games I've seen.
And Atkins was physically trying to get into it. And Ashcroft didn't even look like it was like a fly. It was just whatever.
Yeah. I noticed that straight out because Atkins was really good in the qualifying final.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this will show his mental makeup. No.
Ashcroft was amazing. Yeah. He's an amazing player. Yeah.
I think that every game is obviously a huge midfield battle, but those three guys.
Mm.
So if I was to pick one, it would probably be Dunkley.
Yeah. When you think about it, right? If Sydney do a number on Lockie, or they put all their attention on Lockie, your Dunkley's, your Ashcroft and McClaggy just have to step up, and Rayner have to step up. So
nice one, Sydney.
Well, I don't know if he's X factor per se, but I just thought. Again, I mentioned him already, but in the 2002 grand final, Chad Warner was the only bloke who stood up for Sydney. Like, literally, out of 23 blokes, he was the only one who played a good game.
Yeah.
And I reckon he is the man again for this one. Mm-hmm. So it's not so much a X factor, it's probably a more obvious factor. But I think if he plays a good game, Sydney will win.
Yeah. I've gone, thankfully, I've gone a different direction. It's actually whoever plays on Harris Andrews.
Yeah, will they do the Frampton approach that Collingwood did?
Yeah, I'm not sure, because Logan McDonald had an ankle problem. I don't know if he's, I don't know how he got injured, how any poor player got near him. but Logan McDonald and Joel Amati were both really good.
Yeah,
I think whoever plays, because I'm assuming Harris Andrews, I think it's probably Amati.
Yeah,
I think if Joel Amati kicks, like, he can neutralize him in the air, kick 2 to 3 goals, that might be
enough to get it.
That might be it.
I still feel like there's a bit of a fragile, like, inconsistency. You don't know which Sydney forward you're going to get. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if those guys are quiet.
Yeah.
And if they are, that's trouble for Sydney as well. Like, you know,
big time.
McDonald and Amati might kick, bob up and kick, you know, six between them.
Yeah.
And you'd be right, yeah, that's expected. But they'd also might not just get near it, and you'd be like...
Well, that's the thing, is like they made the very most of their opportunities, and a lot of their opportunities came from turnover and, like, just poor decisions from Port Adelaide.
Yeah.
So it's like...
But, like, Brisbane won't do it. Brisbane's defence is very well drilled. Like, they they set up super well. Like,
Payne has battled.
There's, like, you look at Jeremy Cameron last night, wasn't super effective. Like, you know, it wasn't a normal Jeremy Cameron game. Like, Brisbane's defence are no joke.
No, 100%. Like, yeah, like, Payne is just, he's clearly not 100%.
No, but he's
battling his ass off.
He's paying through the...
Playing through the pain.
Oh, I see what we did there.
Boo,
boo, boo.
So that's for me. Like,
yeah. No, it's good.
I think that's do or die for Sydney.
Yeah.
Because they're going to get opportunities. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Those guys need to.
Yeah, they need
to stand up.
Yep.
If Andrews is able to have, I guess, his full effect.
Yeah.
With Wilmot, Zorko, even Starcevic.
Yeah.
Starcevic looked great breaking the ball through the lines last night.
Yep.
That is GG. Yeah. That's GG for Sydney.
It's why I reckon they're so hard to split, these two teams. I reckon there's it's a great matchup.
It is. And on the back of that, who wins?
Well, I'm going to say Team of Destiny wins. So I'm going to say Brisbane.
Yep.
They were there last year, so I think Rayner was interesting in his post-match interview, said, we learnt from, you know, we made some mistakes in the last quarter and we addressed them in the off-season and we've learnt from them. So I feel like that experience is still fresh in their head. Like, they didn't choke on the big stage, right? Like, it was an epic battle, and another minute they could have won.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like they shut the bed like Sydney did in 2002. No. So I feel like...
What do you reckon hurts more? I reckon the Brisbane one hurts more than the Sydney one.
Brisbane one hurts more because you played well but lost.
Yeah, because after Charlie Cameron kicked that goal, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's, you're almost thinking that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I think it hurts more because, like, whereas when you get just drubbed,
yeah,
it's just like, we're never in it. It hurts, but fuck, we were never a chance.
We're never in it, so we lost it.
Yeah, so whereas Brisbane was like, you know, as I said, a minute longer, they might have won. Who knows? But Brisbane for me.
Yeah.
By less than a goal.
Yeah, I'm Brisbane as well. I think Brisbane by actually a couple of goals.
Okay.
I just think you can't. It's so hard to go against a team who's won the way that they've won.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Sydney were impressive coming back, but they had a bruise-free prelim, and I just think there's something, like, to be said about if Sydney had a prelim win like that.
Yeah.
to come overcome the mental hurdles that a lot of this group probably still has. Like, it would have been far more beneficial for them.
Yep.
But, like, Port were never in it. And, look, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that a win like that in a prelim where they were able to control it says to them, yeah, we've got the confidence and the belief to know that we can just control a huge final.
Yep.
So I'm going for Brisbane. 2 goals.
Yep.
Smith.
If Sydney win, Chad Warner.
Yeah.
If Brisbane win, I don't want to say lock in here because it's too obvious. Boring. I'll say if Brisbane win, I'll say Zorko.
Okay, that's a good one. Sydney, I think for me, it's probably, if I'm to give like a, I guess, a realistic shot, it's probably Goulden.
Mm-hmm.
But my outsiders, I like a little bit of value.
Yeah, love it.
Justin McInerney.
Okay.
I think his run, carry, delivery could be.
Well, Goulden, last time I played, Goulden was Sydney's best player. So yeah. That's a good call. And what about if Brisbane?
I'm going to say McCluggage because that's what I was.
Yeah.
That's where I was leading.
And then, yeah.
Yeah. Probably the X factor. I'm 100% betting Wilmot.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Because like I just think
catches the eye, like a Joe Hannison type Norm Smith.
Yeah, yeah, but plays
better. Doesn't butcher the ball.
I'm
not gonna do that. And can I just give a special shout out to Taylor Adams?
Yeah, you can. That's
not no. I'm not you.
A bit of troll.
No, no, a little bit. It's not the sympathetic one you might be thinking. It's he was vice captain of the club. He had a hamstring injury that the club wasn't prepared to take him into a grand final for.
Fair enough.
He cracked the which is fair enough. He threw the toys out of the cot, wanted a trade, said, oh, I'm not going to be, the writing's on the wall. Leaves in a huff.
Yeah.
Goes to a team who offers him a 3-year deal, which is, I don't know how he did that, but well done. Yeah. Gets a 3-year deal.
Hamburglar
is agent. and it wasn't even an emergency for the prelim final and won't be playing in the grand final. So,
yes.
And ironically, if he had stayed at Collingwood when Mitchell got it, he would have been a key figure in the Collingwood midfield. We would have made finals and gone back to back. So, Taylor Adams, shout out to you, my man.
Enjoy the kneeful.
Yeah, enjoy the next 2 years of kneeful footy.
Yeah. That's a good one. Not where I thought you were going.
No, I know.
Thought you were taking a high road approach.
Always think.
Always take the
low road cheap shot.
Low road
cheap whenever shot. In doubt. But yeah, looking forward to the granny. Should be good. Wait, what are you doing? Do you know where you'll be at?
I'll be working for like most of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, because that was always the plan. Like if Port were in it. Silly me for making those plans. but yeah, no, it's obviously a pretty big day.
Yep.
Work wise, so yeah, I'll probably just work and watch it at home. I've never been to a grand final.
Oh, really?
Never
shit.
Been. Well, okay. I've had the opportunity to go.
Yeah.
But
just
I've just always said like if I'm going to a grand final, it's like
your team.
Yeah, I'm not making my first one. My dad used to go like every year.
Yeah, yeah.
He used to always get a ticket. And I thought like maybe that would be cool to do, but then. I was like, no, Port will make one soon.
Yeah.
Soon.
No, I mean, yeah, don't leave it too long. Like, I think you should go to one. So don't
55.
Don't get too caught up on that idea. Fair enough.
But what plans have you got?
Just watching at home, I think. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Erin is my wife is a Brisbane supporter, so.
Oh, was she Fitzroy originally?
Yeah. Yeah, mad Fitzroy, her family. Yeah. So they've all jumped across to Brisbane. So for that reason, I'll be going for the Lions.
Was it a tense household last year?
Well, I was at the game. She was at home.
What are the boys Collingwood?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Just because they're level-headed. Come on. Go. Yes. Good parenting.
Yeah, nice. All right. Well, good luck.
So, yeah. And enjoy the game, everyone, and thanks for listening. And we'll see you probably for our last one, I'd imagine,
yes.
Which will be a obviously a grand final post-match
yep.
look. Probably trade period will be well underway yeah, by then.
Draft.
Obviously cricket, Australia-India, massive series yep. coming up. We know your thoughts on India.
Yeah,
And NBA, NFL, there's plenty to discuss next time.
So much. So much you can't even shake a stick at it.
No, and if you did, you'd be silly.
But, yeah, thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Chris.
It's a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, never a chore. And shop early, please.
And beat the rush.
Speaking of floating on air, mm-hmm. my first buy is Mascots Trucking Kids.
What? Bull Nuff Alert. My last sale is Chupa Chup Wrappers.
You're looking vibrant, relaxed, youthful.
Thank you. Yes, I don't feel any of those things. But
neither do I. I don't look at... Where,
oh, God. We've gone full nuffy.